Praise God. Lesson number one, part two, is where we're at in our Bible study. First of all, let's pray and ask the Lord to anoint us to be able to study His Word. Father, we thank You for Your plan, Your purpose, what You have been doing in us all these years of our life and in all of those generations before us from the first man. We thank You, Lord, for this group here, the people that are hungry to hear and to know more about You, to study the scriptures that have been handed down to us, anointed by Your Holy Spirit upon men of old. We ask You to anoint the ears of the hearer. And we ask You, Lord, as we go into this study, that You'll give us understanding and that You'll allow us to be revelatory concerning You, O Lord. We want to know more about You. We want to know more about Your plans. We pray that Your Holy Spirit will teach us as Your scripture says it will do. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe we stopped last week. First of all, I want to address the question that Emmy had. So if you'd give Emmy the mic, Russ, and want Emmy to... Emmy wasn't here last week. She read the lesson and she had a question about it.
I was surprised to see in your notes that the scripture, in the discussion of the word, that the word is not scripture. In my upbringing, whenever anybody mentioned the word, I thought they were talking about the Bible verses, the words in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And your statement was that the Bible is not the word.
Right. And last week, at the end of our lesson, I threw this out, and I knew that we were going to cover it again this week. When Genesis 1:1, that is our key scripture for this particular part of the lesson. In the beginning, God, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, prepared, formed, fashioned, and created the heavens and the earth. The Message version says first this: God created the heavens and earth, all you see, all you don't see. Then I mentioned, just to throw it out, because I knew we were going to go to our related verse, because again, whenever we read the Old Testament, we want to find its purpose ahead to the New Testament. Because the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews tells us that those things that were done in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, under the law and all the prophets and everything else, all of that was done as type and shadow, examples of those things which were heavenly. So when God told Moses to build a tabernacle in the wilderness, and he formed a priesthood under Aaron and all of that, that was really signifying something greater than all of that. And those, Hebrews calls those heavenly things themselves. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, came as a fulfillment of everything before Him. And He fulfilled all of His purpose in Himself, everything before Him. What we're reading in the Old Testament has a reality in the New Testament and today as we serve God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the Christian walk, is that we are actually walking out in our everyday lives what people in the Old Testament had to go through in the priesthood, offerings of sacrifices, veil, covering the Shekinah glory of the Lord in the holiest of all. We're going to learn about all of that as we go along. But we're reading something in the Old Testament, and we're going to find verses in the New Testament that relate to that. And last week we said Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds during the successive ages were framed, fashioned, put in order, and equipped for their intended purpose by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. I know Pastor Kelly says a lot, I've heard him say this several times, and it's true. Some people say, well, God made everything out of nothing, And that's not true. God made everything out of himself. Amen? So it wasn't like as though poof, it was there. Everything came out from God.
Amen.
He put himself, he made it out of him. It was in God and came out of God. And you are the centerpiece of the whole creation of God, because you were made in the image and the likeness of God. All men were, both believers and non-believers, came out from that same great source, Jehovah God. So here, related verse is John 1:1-5. That's in the New Testament now. Turn your Bible to John. It's the fourth gospel. It'll be the fourth book from the beginning of the New Testament. The Gospel according to John. And we're going to see that it has the same three words. That Genesis had, right? In the beginning. John is revelatory. John the Apostle was obviously had an insight. His gospel's all about love, the love of God, and knowing the Father through the Son. So John was revelatory. Good to see Brother Lewis. God bless you. Amen. Glad to have you, brother. So it says in King James, our related verse to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's King James. The Message says, the life light. The Word was first, the Word present to God, God present to the Word. Understand how that's saying that. There was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if God is the Word, and the Word came out from God, right? The Word was God because it came out from God, but the Word was now with God because it was a created Word that God had formed. God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Word was God, the Word was with God. And the Message says the Word was present to God, and God was present to the Word, and the Word was God. And it's showing the relationship here between the Word and God. Now, most people out here, all other religions that believe in God, will mention God. For us who are Christians, it's significant to us that God is more than just God. God birthed the Word, because God was the Word, but God wanted the Word with him. So out from God came the Word, and the Word wasn't just a vibration of sound or type on paper. The Word was a person, Jesus, the Christ, according to John. It says, the Word was God in readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Now talking about the Word that was with God. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. And so Peterson Version calls it the life light, which I like. The life light. The light of man is the Spirit of God in him. No one has life outside of God. All things would cease to exist if the life of God was withdrawn from this material world. Whether we realize it or not, everything exists by the life of God. And that life is Zoe life. That's a Greek word, which has a Greek in it from which the New Testament was written. Many Greek words that have been translated into one English word, sometimes one English word like love, has more than one Greek word that it was translated from. One of the most evident parts of the scripture where that scene is where Jesus asks one of his followers, Peter, he says, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep." And then for us reading in English, it seems like Jesus is just trying to get on Peter's nerves, because he acts like he hadn't answered him, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" in English. And then Peter says, "Lord, you know I do." "Then feed my sheep." And then he asks him a third time, "Do you love me?" And again, reading in English, you think, why does he keep saying this? Well, in the Greek language, Jesus is mentioning three levels of love. Isn't that beautiful? To Peter, and in every level of love, he's telling him, then give it. Give out of that and take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. So the life that we're talking about isn't just beast life. It isn't the life of a limited man's life. It isn't life for 1,000 years. Methuselah lived 969 years in a man's life, and then he died. But this life that we're talking about, again, is the life that has no beginning and no end. It is eternal life. And that life is Zoe life, which literally means life as God has life. Praise God. Now that is what we have the opportunity to enter into in our day. They couldn't enter into it in the Old Testament. They were shut up by God unto that. Shut into a room and locked into a room like you would do anyone that you didn't want them to come into another room. You lock the door. Well, literally, those that was walking in the old days before Jesus Christ were locked up by God, by design, into another dispensation, knowing God afar off. Since Jesus Christ, we have been brought nigh unto God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. So you see, in the beginning, it had to have a beginning. Everything had to have a beginning in God. In the Old Testament, in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, everything that we see and everything that we don't see came out of the same source, God. And God was the Word. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. And presented itself to God, and God presented himself to the Word. And as Jesus says later on in his teachings, I and the Father are one. Amen. If you've seen me, you've seen him. If you've seen him, then you have to have seen me. Because the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now these scriptures have been called the Word of God by religion. They are a measure of an instruction of the Word of God. But they are not what, in this term that John is writing about, this is not the Word of God. The Word of God is something greater than ink and paper. It's greater than language. Greater than Russian or English or Spanish or Hebrew or Greek or any other language. Aramaic. It's greater than all of that.
Amen.
The true word is, as John so eloquently says, is life. And the life was the light of men. Or as the message says, the life was the light that we can live by. So it's not just scriptures that we quote. The true word is that life within us, within each and every one of us. That is the unlimited, inexpressible word of God. Totally creative. So that word that was in the beginning, from which all things came out from, and let us let our spirit just comprehend this, not mentally, let our spirit rise to this, that is the same exact word that now resides in the hearts of men. And it is still speaking. And still ministering out of that creativeness that God is. So that is why there is in our midst a people who are starting to rise to the knowledge of this and the understanding of this. It's always been there. This is not something that just now has arrived as we gain knowledge of it. It has always been there. Amen? It's not something that the minute I believe it, then that's when it arrives from somewhere. It's always been there in the hearts of men, always, but it's like radio frequencies that are always passing through us and through this building, and there's signals being sent right as I speak to you. Everybody understands that naturally, right? That if I was to bring an AM or an FM radio here and I was to turn it on and I was to tune it, I would pick up signals that had always been passing through the air right here. But I was not on the frequency to receive that. I didn't have a receiver to receive it. But immediately when I turn on that receiver, then I channel it to that frequency. All of a sudden, I start hearing the word. Praise God. The word that was God, that was with God, and still is.
Amen.
And that is what the word means when the word presents itself to God and God presents it to the word. There has to be in us this presentation to God. We have to receive that word.
Amen.
And that word has already received us.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Now God's waiting for us to rise and to hear it.
Amen.
Again, your mind is not the receiver. It can't receive it. It's limited. It will receive doctrine. Our mind will receive the scriptures. And how many understands that's why we've got a phone book full of churches today? That's why the government has registered so many denominational ranks and so many churches and religions throughout the whole world. And I'm not talking about those who are non-Christian. I'm just talking about those that are Christian that read out of the same scripture every day, have colleges and universities that teach, men of knowledge and learning teach out of this very same scripture. And they receive a different word. Amen?
Amen?
They all teach out of the same, every school of higher learning that they have, all their Greek and Hebrew scholars cannot agree. Why is that? They're receiving it in the wrong place. This is a creative mind, and I will create God in my own image. Instead of God creating me into his image.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say praise the Lord? So any learning that we learn, we must learn it by the Spirit and not just intellect.
Amen.
We will fathom a certain amount intellectually, and thank God that it all agrees together with us, that intellectually I can teach to the weakness that I am, I can teach a certain amount of the Scripture, but the Word, the living Word of God, must use these scriptures and raise it to the level that God wants it to be raised to, so that we're not reading a book, we are reading a living epistle that jumps out of the page.
Amen.
And starts to walk in us and talk in us. Amen. And live in us.
Amen.
It is the Word.
Amen.
That the scriptures testify about.
Amen.
The Word is Jesus Christ. And these scriptures are not God or the Word. They testify of the Word.
Amen.
But they are most edifying as we learn it by the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
So that's why we still study the scriptures. Because the scriptures will open up a door for us to understand how the Word operates. And really and truthfully, the Scriptures is a manifest. In the old days when they had ships that sailed the seas, and even today, but mostly, you know, as we see in the old days, some of the ships that would sail, they would write everything down in a manifest that that ship contained. Every item was listed on that manifest. So that when the ship arrived, as they took the goods off, they marked it off on the manifest, right? And made inventory of it. This is our manifest.
Praise the Lord.
Woo, glory, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, it is our manifest. And God has written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon men of old out of many, many books. Not, again, this is not just one book, right? It is the book of books, of many different books put together in a book, that if we study it with the Word in us, coinciding and witnessing to it, it starts to show us the manifest of what has been delivered to us by Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Thank you for it, Lord. Now, most people do not know that because their radio isn't turned on. And that takes God to flip the switch on our radio. I could be saying these same things to people up in town here, and some of them would... What in the world is he talking about? And they have no interest. They have no, it doesn't connect. And it's the same thing as a radio that's not turned on. It can be there and the signals are going right by it and right through it and all over the place. It's all available to it, but it hasn't been turned on. That's what happens when we connect with God.
Amen.
And it can happen anywhere, anytime in our life. Doesn't happen to happen have to happen in a building that's called a church. Doesn't have to happen at an altar. It can happen at home. It can happen at work. It can happen while we're driving our car. It can happen in the most unlikely scenarios. All of a sudden, God turns our radio on. Hallelujah. And we hear something in us that might, we may not even know what to call it. We may say, wow, that was a weird thought. Wow, wonder why I thought of that. And all of a sudden we start, and you know how it is if you turn on a radio and it's not tuned?
Yeah.
Right? You get some garble, you get some things that are, you know, you think, I heard something, but I can't discern it. I can't figure it out. Many of you are right there right now. You're hearing in these services the Word. But right now, you're not picking up all the meaning of it. It's garbled. It's not getting received exactly in an articulate way. Hang in there. God is starting to fine-tune our frequencies. And we're starting to find the frequency that the Spirit of the Lord is moving in. Now, I can go to church all my life and never pick up God. How many is hearing me in that? I can go to, some people attend Church of Christ, Baptist, Pentecost, any church out here you could name. And they could go there all their lives and never hear God. Because they have had their radio off and they're just doing a religious ceremony. This church has left the ceremony. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. We're not interested in performing the ceremonial duties of an old order of man's ways. We are interested in getting tuned by God in whatever way He says. Amen. Worship, preaching, staying still, nobody talking, silence, however God wants to do it. We are wanting God in every service to start to tune us. And pretty soon, as we allow the Lord to do that in us, we start knowing more and more about that which we're hearing. We start fine-tuning it, and it starts to become more articulate for us. And whether we've been in this for 2 months, 1 week, or 50 years, the Lord is still tuning us to hear truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I have heard some truth, thank God for it. Even the garbledness, thank God for it. That means my radio's on. You know, if people even get mad at me, I'm glad, because that means they've got something on. If they don't agree with what I'm saying, I say, praise God. At least you know enough not to agree with it. At least you've tuned on to something there. But it's those that don't hear anything I get worried about, that don't have any kind of a feeling. That means at least we have had the power switched on. Now it's up to God, our faithful God. Amen. The true God. Brother Wes, microphone please.
Not really a question, but an observation. I saw God speaking that not only do we have to have a radio on, we may need to fine tune it, but sometimes when we have the radio on, we hear a station sporadically because it's too far away. The only way we can hear that station is to move closer to the station. So Amen. Sometimes God is wanting us to move to be able to pick up what it is He's saying.
Exactly. Amen. Another observation on that. There's more than one channel on the radio. Right? So, as it is in God, in Genesis, it goes through the levels of creation out of the Word of God, which we'll cover at another time. More to Genesis than meets the eye. There's more to the creative power of God that's recorded in Genesis than a natural world. There are things that God created, which Peterson's version says, those things which we see, and by saying see, I don't mean just with our eyes. That means those things that we can understand and those things that we still do not understand. It all was created in God in the beginning.
Right. Amen.
For our observation, God rested on the seventh day.
Right. Amen.
And He ceased from all of His works on the seventh day. So whatever is at this point was created in the beginning. But now we have to go into the plan of it all. What did God create? How many levels might He have created? And by levels, I mean levels of reality, levels of parallel states and conditions. That's nothing unusual for us. That's not so spiritual that we can't comprehend it. How many have been taught that atoms form all of creation, right? We've all been taught that in school. That this material world is actually made up of things we don't see. Nobody's ever seen an atom. But little atoms have formed to create molecules, and molecules have formed with each other to create compounds, and this pulpit here is made up of little atoms that have a certain mass and weight to them that have formed wood. And if you were to dissolve that and to unbind it, it would again be something that couldn't even be seen, touched, or tasted, or anything else. It would be atoms that would be uncomprehendable to our natural senses. That's the same thing in the spiritual world. The spiritual world is not something that we need to just forget about and say, well, I can't understand that. It's the same thing as what the world is made up of. If you take a water, for instance, water is H2O, two atoms of hydrogen connected to one atom of oxygen. That's the formula for water. Hydrogen atoms are not seen. Oxygen atoms cannot be seen. The only way you can see air is if something's impure in the air. A fog of some sort, of other particles. Pure air is not seen or discerned. But as you bind them together in a certain formula, two hydrogen to one oxygen, all of a sudden that which has been invisible takes on mass. Right? And it's something that we use every day, water. Now you can take that same mass of water, stick it into a freezer, and that which is liquid becomes solid. Amen? Same stuff. It never has changed. We have not created one thing. Amen? We have just taken things that are and joined them together in a new and more excellent way. Now you can take that ice cube, put it on the stove, put heat underneath it, it'll melt back down to water, and if you keep the heat on it, it will evaporate back into its original form. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Hallelujah. How marvelous and how wondrous are the ways of the Lord, Brother Clyde.
Amen.
Beyond finding out, the scripture says here. But Paul says we know all of these things, and they are being revealed to us by the Spirit of the Lord. How many want to continue to know more about God?
Amen.
As we go along. God bless. We're out of time. You have a 5-minute break.